Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program, off and running on a brand new week in December. It's Monday, December the 11th. Getting very close now to Christmas, just a couple of weeks away. In the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things. They have the naming rights to our studio, and we are part of the Bustos Media growing campus. We've got five radio stations under one roof here. This is KVOI 1030, Tucson's trusted source for local news and talk. Our telephone live line for our telephone calls at 790-2040 is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. That art that they have at the gallery, is a lot of it is from Moe. He's a great photographer. I was just over at the shop on Saturday. I've got some beautiful things hanging on the walls. And by the way, if you don't want to, when Mo and the team frame your piece of art or your whatever you would like framed, and you don't want to put it up on the wall, Mo makes house calls. He'll come out, make sure that the piece is up the way you want it. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at mosgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview features from the City of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department. Jeff Kuhn is with us. Jeff is the Deputy Director, and we're going to be talking about the new 911 resource line here in Tucson. Hey, Jeff, thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me a little bit about the 311 system. Of course, everybody knows about 911. There's also, I think, now a suicide prevention line, too. What one is that? Do you recall what that number is?
I think you're referring to 988.
988.
Recently launched.
That was recently launched. So now we've got 311. What is that?
311 is a number allocated by the FCC for non-emergency resources, social services, those types of things, non-emergent needs. And we're looking at and recently turned up a 311 system here in Tucson.
Is it activated now?
It is activated now. We're lucky enough to have the mayor announce on Monday during her inaugural speech that 311 is in fact operational in Tucson.
When you call 311, what kind of information can you get, and who should be calling that? Perhaps there are people who had in the past called 911, and then maybe they shouldn't have called 911, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
And we've known that for a long time. And our 311 system is strategically designed to help with those folks. So if you have a question about whether it's an emergency or not, you're probably best to call 311. The way we've designed it is that if it is an emergency, we have the ability to connect you right to who you need. And so it's about proper resource allocation.
So there's cross-pollination. If somebody needs 911 and they call 311, they'll get to 911.
We can make that happen. That's right.
Yeah. So how difficult was it to launch this? What were some of the, talk to our listeners a little bit about the logistics of putting this together, Jeff?
Sure. We've been doing some version of non-emergency call taking really since the onset of COVID with the City of Tucson. I had a small part in that, but it was run by various departments in a collaboration effort. And what we knew is we needed an evolution of that. In the 911 center, we know that we get callers that probably need that service more appropriately than 911. And so the 311 effort really came from reimagining, rethinking how we do business in the city. We know that our system can be complicated. Mm-hmm. People don't always know who to call.
Uh-huh.
And we think that's our role, is really to evaluate your need and then connect you with the right person for whatever that resource is that you need.
Is 311 based at the same communications center as the 911 team?
So logistically, we did that. It was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could have those integrations, mm-hmm, between the systems, because we don't want to make someone hang up and call us back mm-hmm. at a different number. Mm-hmm. Rather, we want to hand it off, allow for that flow of information to continue. And so it is based in 911.
Mm-hmm.
It's separate staff with different training. But we do have that cross-pollination that you mentioned earlier.
Let's talk about what resources might be available that someone has questions. What would be kind of some obvious questions that people will call and have?
The real obvious ones are things that you might witness in the community. You drive by and a stop sign is down.
Mm-hmm.
A traffic light might be out. Our police and firefighters are not going to be able to help with that. But in 311, we're going to connect you to the various departments that might manage that. And it's not always just one,
mm-hmm.
right? It could be the streets department. It could be transportation. There's a lot of those.
It could be water.
It absolutely could be.
I mean, in the summertime, it's not a pleasant sight. I know we all hate to see it, that maybe there's water running in the street. We don't like to waste water in Tucson, Arizona, but rather than call 911 and say, hey, I think there's like a water main or there's a water short or some kind of a break with the irrigation system, it sounds like 311 would be a natural place, Jeff, to call.
You hit it on the head. And we're going to ask the right questions. We've worked with those departments directly to say, what information do we need to gather on your behalf? And we can immediately notify the right department who can handle that. So it's an efficiency gain, we believe, with the city of Tucson.
How about now when it gets to the unsheltered population? This might be an area that someone may feel, well, there's a homeless camp that I'm seeing for the first time that has suddenly sprung up. Would that call go to 311 or 911?
It would absolutely be a 311 call.
Okay. Tell us why.
Well, we've connected directly with the many resources that the city and the county are putting towards this effort. We know that it's an impact to the community. We want to support our unsheltered population as well. And so we've partnered with them to help identify who might evaluate that,
mm-hmm.
who might come out and offer additional resources,
mm-hmm.
all in an effort to solve core issues,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not always just about reporting in the moment. It's how do we get people connected to that, those resources that they need for good outcomes in the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so we play a role in that with weekly meetings, and that call intake is something we've taken on.
If someone had a question about housing, perhaps emergency housing, that maybe they're living in their car, unfortunately, and that we know that's happening, would that be an area that they could call a 311 and perhaps get some assistance that way?
Absolutely. We also meet with the housing department, and while they have their own call intake,
mm-hmm.
they're not there 24/7. Our 311 model is a 24/7 model. So late in the evening, if you have a need, we'll be there to support you.
How are people, how much training is going into this? Before the launch, you said that there was certain training that the 311 people, well, obviously they've got to know what resources are available. They've got to have that at their disposal. Is that one of the big things with the training?
It is the big thing, and we have ongoing training as we continue to build it. One of the things we really know early on is that we're going to encounter some needs from the community we didn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've done very basic training with all of the departments that we're already engaged with, and part of our objectives is to identify the needs that we didn't know about,
mm-hmm.
and then find those resources to connect our community to.
Is it difficult finding personnel to man the line? It's just, I know that 911 is a challenge with the training and the hours and everything, and perhaps after the break we can talk more specifically about 911, but was it difficult getting the staffing for 311, and did some of the staffing come over from 911?
So the 311 staffing really was a new resource. Again, something that our city leaders have offered to us as an additional resource. So it was new. We were able to bring people in fairly easy. One of the positives we found is that intermingling them with our 911 staff is we have an opportunity for cross-training. We also give some of our 911 staff who go through a stressful and sometimes very busy day a bit of a rest if they want to function in 311. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that be successful in the short term. And so it's our goal to expand that program and do more cross-training to break up a day, give people a little different exposure to different work, and be more familiar with the resources that are available on both sides.
You know, earlier at the top of our interview, we mentioned the mental health crisis unit or number, the 988 number. Is that a national number, or are there local people here with that? And that leads me to ask you a follow-up about the mental health component, maybe at 311.
The 988 number is a national program.
Okay.
The way that it's designed mirrors very much the 911 system, and it's based on where you call from.
Okay.
But it's not based on your geographic area. It's based on the area code of your phone number. And so if you have a 520 area code and you call, you'll be routed to a center in Arizona.
Yeah.
There is one locally, but it's also shared with our Maricopa partners.
Okay.
Those calls are dispersed so that you get a quicker service.
Uh-huh.
But I'll also tell you, in our public safety communications department, we actually have dedicated crisis professionals that sit in the center.
Really? The people that have been trained to deal with these kinds of calls?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they come from the same provider as 988 services.
Okay.
So it's a similar service with a specialty around 911 emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And because the 311 system intentionally is embedded within 911,
mm-hmm.
that becomes a resource to our staff as well from 311.
Okay.
So if you call with a similar need, regardless of where you call.
If you're in a mental health crisis and you called 311, they're going to get you to the right people.
We'll make
the
sure
bottom line.
That's right.
Jeff Kuhn is with us. Jeff is the Deputy Director for the City of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department, and we're learning about, and I'm learning about it because I had heard about 311, but it's all new to me, and I'm probably new to our listeners as well. The resource line is 311, and we'll be talking also with Jeff after the break. Hear how things are going at the 911 Center. This portion of the Monday One-on-One is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing right next to Copenhagen. And, of course, they also have a very nice website now, moesgallery.com, where they're doing e-commerce. Also want to tell you about our favorite bakery in town. If you're looking for holiday comfort food, and who isn't, Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. Danish Kringle sounds, to me anyway, that sounds kind of Christmassy. So how about a Kringle for your Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day or the lead up to Christmas? It's a wonderful pastry, and they do it so well at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. We'll have more with Jeff Kuhn talking about 311, and then we're going to talk a little bit about 911 after we take the break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Monday one-on-one. It is Monday, December 11th. Family-owned and operated Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Boy, we love the work they do. I took in a piece to have framed and said hello to the family, wish them a happy holidays, and they're having a great holiday season. If there's something that you want framed for the holidays, though, I would get over there certainly early this week because they are going to be very busy, and Christmas now is less than 2 weeks away. Jeff Kuhn is with us. Jeff is the Deputy Director for the City of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department, and the mayor, during her State of the City address last week, formally announced that Tucson is now part of the 311 resource line. And in our first segment, we were talking with Jeff about the type of calls that will come in to 311. I do want to get an update from you, Jeff. I know that the 911 Communication Center has been going kind of a facelift, if you will. Chief Kazmar, before he was chief of police here, kind of went over to 911 and shepherded kind of a revamp. How is it going over there? What, you know, we'd heard a lot about morale and everything. Kind of give us the big picture.
Well, you have all of those things right.
Yep.
And so the momentum was set with now Chief Kazmar. We continue to focus on with our primary efforts around employee care, wellness. So we continue to make strides in those areas. We've recently hired an internal master clinician to help support some of the things that happen, both from an employee standpoint and really a strategy standpoint around wellness.
It's a tough job, and a happy, if their mindset is in the right place, everybody wins.
Right.
And if they're not, it's a problem.
A happy employee provides a better service to our community.
Exactly.
And so we really, everything that we do has that factor considered. And so our hiring efforts continue. We're always looking for good people. So if you have any or there's any listening with us today, mm-hmm. please. We'll have some recruitments out very, very soon, in fact. We have a recruitment effort with other public safety entities, I believe, in the next couple of weeks. So the city's website has that for you.
And what are some of the qualifications and what are you looking for?
What we're really looking for are problem solvers.
Okay.
People, we call it the middle child syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a translator, right? Between big brother and little sister and those types of things. But if you really have the goal of taking care of your community, really offering a service, I don't know that there's a better place that you can do it than sitting in the 911 center.
Do you need technical training?
We'll take care of that for you.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to be like a techie to get this kind of a job. You will do the training.
Well, the people coming into the workforce today are techies by nature.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so
true.
That's
unlike
not,
myself.
That's not the challenge.
Ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah.
The real one is a bit of typing, right? There's a formality to the typing, documenting. Okay. Those are the things that we see some folks struggle with.
Yes.
But we're also working to help people with those. So if you want to get ahead a little bit and give yourself an advantage, you know, that practice would help.
Well, the kids, the younger people obviously know texting. I've always amazed at how those fingers quickly bang out text. So maybe that translates, if you can train them then over to the typing, maybe it's not as hard.
Yeah, I don't think that's not a challenge we can't overcome.
Right.
But it really is about recognizing the value of the service, coming in, having a commitment. It's a little tough. You might work some nights, you know, mm-hmm. you might be here on a holiday when we'd much prefer to be with our families, but it's a really, really valuable job. And when you get there, you'll find yourself in a family that a lot of people really value as well.
Is there a vetting process?
There is. There's some backgrounding that goes on, criminal history checks, but generally, if you have an interest, we want to hear from you. So put your name in, and then we'll walk you through the process.
How about pay? Is it competitive?
It's competitive for what it is. I'd tell mm-hmm. you that we could probably never pay them enough.
Right.
But we've made strides in that area, too. We're very competitive in the region. And we're also building really a path for our folks compensation-wise. So if you come in and you're a self-driver motivated, you can actually impact your pay, which is not always the case when you work in government.
So ideally, the 311 will help 911, won't it? In a big way. I mean, that's kind of the bottom big picture here, isn't it, Jeff?
A very big way.
Yeah. Go ahead and elaborate a little bit on that.
Well, what we're really looking to do is free up our 911 call takers for the real emergencies, mm-hmm. right? And I know that when people call 911, that it's their emergency in the moment.
It is, but you know, we had the fire chief on recently, and he said some people will dial 911 if their doctor appointment was canceled, and they need to, you know, they'd like to see someone come out and give them medical, and it's not an emergency, in other words.
Sure.
That's an issue because it does tie up, when you have calls like that, it ties up the operator who should be doing other things that are more important as far as the immediate emergency.
Well, that's true, but I'll add for you this.
Go ahead.
Our 911 call takers really want to offer whatever support is needed for that person.
Okay.
They just don't have the time.
Right.
And so transferring that call or giving it to someone who's sitting literally right next to them, mm-hmm. who does have the time and capacity and training to mm-hmm. help with those non-emergent needs that take a little bit longer to vet,
mm-hmm.
that's really the objective of what we're trying to do here. And so the good thing about it is if something changes and it really does meet the threshold for emergency, we're sitting in the same center, we use the same systems, there's now a very easy path to getting that emergency response. So that was all designed intentionally, and it's unique to Tucson. Not many places are doing it this way.
I wanted to ask you about how it is working in other cities. What path are they taking? Not necessarily this integrated path that Tucson has chosen.
Well, yeah. we're not on the forefront of it.
Okay.
311 has happened in the country for nearly 25 years. But what we had an opportunity to do was evaluate those and really find the best mm-hmm. approach for our community here in the Tucson area, right? That includes our partnership with Pima County, which we've established. But most of those 311 centers are a call center that operate completely separate from public safety. Right. And we know that because of the dependence on 911 in our community, that was not a good approach for us to take. It would be working in silos. And across the city with our leadership, we're doing everything we can to break those down and really have, as you described it, that interconnectivity between systems. It almost doesn't matter where you enter. We'll make sure you get to the right place.
Is it for the countywide 311, or just the city?
Well, the city and county are working together.
Okay.
We meet regularly. We don't want our neighbors to mm-hmm. to have to decide which side of the street they're on.
Right.
So the county and the city all routing of 311 in our region will mm-hmm. come to the city of Tucson, mm-hmm. and we are establishing ways to pass that information back to our county partners so that those requests from our community get action, right? Something actually happens with those.
We've been speaking with Jeff Kuhn. Jeff's been filling us in about the new 311 Resource Center, which is now up and running. Jeff is the Deputy Director of Tucson's Public Safety Communications Department. And anyone listening who thinks this might be a great career, you are hiring people. What would be the best way to follow up on that?
The City of Tucson job website mm-hmm. is great. If you call 311 and ask us, we'll be happy to send you the link. I'll even suggest one of the great pieces of 311 that was new for me we got to set up was we've established a mobile app.
How's that working?
Well, it's pretty new. It actually hit the Google Store just on Tuesday morning, I believe.
This is free?
It is free.
Okay.
It is free. It's like any other app that you can go on, and any service you could get by calling us, you can essentially find on the mobile app. There's very few exceptions. And if that's the way that you prefer to communicate with us at the City of Tucson, then please download the app. You can also see what your neighbors may have posted. So if you go by and that mm-hmm. street light is out and you look on the app and it's already been reported, you don't need to duplicate that report, but you can follow that report. And so the app gives you a receipt of a request, right? And then when it's completed, you get that follow-up.
Jeff Kuhn, thank you very much.
Thank
Monday
you.
One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We will take the mid-show break. Then it's our BBB Consumer Alert coming up right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez and 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez and 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezand67.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, the place to go for all of your poinsettias. They raised 21,000 of them and they've got some left for you, so get over there this week. Retailers and shippers traditionally hire seasonal workers to fulfill the holiday shoppers' demands, whether online or in person. These jobs are a great way to make some extra money, sometimes with the possibility of turning into a long-term employment opportunity. However, there are sometimes situations where these jobs are not all as what they might appear. Today we have Denise Alvarez with us from the Better Business Bureau. Denise is the Director of Operations. She will share some tips on how to avoid becoming a victim of these types of scams. Hello, Denise.
Hello.
So, the scam tracker finds that these employment scams are kind of on the upswing, aren't they?
Yes. We found that in 2022 they were actually the second riskiest scams that were reported. Yes.
So being proactive and finding the right opportunity, I guess, is key. So let's talk about some red flags.
Absolutely. Scammers will make these job opportunities very tempting. Usually they'll offer to pay a lot of money for very little work. And job seekers should know that employers will never ask for a payment up front, right? Most of us work to get paid. We don't pay to work.
That's true, right?
And that's a, you know, it's very important to remember that, because some of these scammers will ask for money up front before they start training you, or they'll ask you to pay for the supplies, and that's not right.
So they may say, well, we have this opportunity for you, but we will need your credit card information, and then there'll be a fee to really get you in the door.
Correct.
I mean,
yes.
That's not how it works.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so I feel like because of the holidays, a lot of people are looking for these job opportunities. They don't really think about that. But yes, let's remember that we work to get paid, not the other way around.
And what about a job interview?
You know, that was really interesting, because there's a lot of them that don't require an interview. So consumers must be very cautious with jobs that don't require that. Even during the peak hiring season,
we're ready for you. Just come on down. We don't need to meet you, but we do need your credit card information.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
And sometimes they say, we don't need an interview. You're hired, but send over your, you know, your ID, your direct deposit information. And so now they have all of this information, and they didn't even really hire you. It's not a real company. So we have to be really, really careful with that.
Well, a reputable company would want top candidates, and they'd like to talk to somebody before they, you know, welcome them into the company. So
Absolutely. That's
got to be a huge red flag. Even if it's a job interview over the phone, it's something that is usually required. And so these people are basically saying, we're really desperate for personnel. Just give us your information.
Correct. Yes. They're making it seem very easy. Just come on over, you know, pick up your supplies, but there's no interview. So that's a huge red flag.
How about identity theft? This seems like it would really open the door, Denise, to that area.
Absolutely. Scammers often steal job seekers' information to open bank accounts to further their fraud. So you have to be careful with who you're sharing that information with, including your bank account, credit cards, or accepting any kind of prepayment. I don't know if you've heard of that as well. So there's a lot of scams that are going around that offer an overpayment. So what they'll do is they'll send you a check and they'll say...
Overpayment?
Yes. So they'll send you a check and they'll say, here's $2,000. I apologize. It was meant to be $1,000. But can you actually send this money over to somebody else?
What?
Yes. And so what we found based on the scam tracker is that a lot of these consumers won't wait for that check to clear. what they'll do is they're so excited, they'll deposit the check and they'll use some of their own money to wire it to the other person they're supposed to send it to. So that's how they make their money.
So they take a check for $2,000, get it into their banking account, and then they send $1,000 back?
Correct. They send it to somebody else.
To somebody else.
Correct. Yes. And so that's actually, so employment scam victims frequently become accomplices of the scammer without not even knowing it, because they become money mules. So they'll mail out the money or the checks to, you know, participate in this reshipping job. And that's how they end up being used in, or being part of the scam.
Share with us some more on how these consumers, or how our friends, our listeners, consumers can potentially be accomplices in the fraud.
Yeah, so scammers will hire the victims, you know, from Facebook or any other job board that they find, offering to pay them as much as $2,500 to receive and send some packages. So what happens is the scammers often steal credit cards, order laptops, cell phones, or any high-end, you know, product, and then they'll send it to the person who applied for the job. And then they'll instruct them to repackage it and then send the goods somewhere else. We found that it's typically Russia.
What?
In these scams. And, you know, then they become accomplices because they were hired to do that type of work. They would repackage these stolen items that were purchased by stolen credit cards.
Wow. That's got to be a huge red flag. The address, the forwarding address is somewhere in Russia.
Yes. And then they unfortunately turn around and then they use the victim's information to open bank accounts to continue with their fraud.
So let's go over some things that people should always remember, Denise.
Oh, absolutely. So employers will never ask for a payment upfront for a job. Be really careful with job offers that don't require an interview. Those are red flags right there. Also, if it, we, I think we mention it all the time, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. So if they're, you know, telling you you're going to make $30 an hour and it's very little work, you know, always be careful with that as well. And never work for a company before they hire you. So be sure that you have something in writing before you start working for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's seems like common sense, but just don't get caught up in that. If somebody says, we're not going to even have to interview you. We need you, but we do need your credit card. Oh, boy.
Right. Yes. Red flag. And especially with the direct deposit as well, because that's banking information.
Oh.
One of the tips also is if you find a job, you know, for a big company online, be sure to visit their website and make sure that they're actually hiring for that position instead of just clicking on the ad and applying for it.
All right, let's talk about some other things going on at BBB. The Torch Awards?
Yes, Torch Awards is coming up. They are scheduled for April 19th in 2024. Our nominations are now open. So if you work for, know, or want to self-nominate your company, you can visit bbb.org/Tucson Torch to nominate a company today. The deadline for that is January 12th.
What are some of the areas that are available?
The categories are
categories.
They're nonprofits. We have two categories for one above 1.5 million in revenue and one below. And then we have business categories, so for profits. And we have a small, medium, and large category for that. And then we also have our Spark category for entrepreneurs that are millennials.
Very good. And for more information about the Scam Tracker, what's that website?
It's bbb.org/Scam Tracker.
Denise Alvarez, I hope you and yours and the whole team at BBB have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right. We'll take a break right here. Mark Sykes from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute's coming up right after this. Very good.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley.
Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. And again, Green Things, if you haven't started decorating for the holidays, they have you covered with the poinsettias. I've got a couple of them at my place. They look great, and they're homegrown, as I've mentioned repeatedly, because I'm just still amazed. They grew 21,000 poinsettias right at Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Also, I want to tell you about, if you've got some time off, and a lot of people do over the holidays, how about a road trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Only about a three-hour drive, lots to do. Still good weather for hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. All you need's like a little down jacket or a vest, and got you covered. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out .org for all you need to know about all the many activities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes appears, monthly here, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for 50-plus years has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, Bill. Good to be here.
Holidays snuck up on us this year, didn't they? So we are here in the holiday season, and overall at Planetary Science Institute, good year for you guys?
Yeah. We continue to, our growth is even increasing.
Good.
We've, in the last few months, we've brought on 7 new scientists, and more are at the door. So that pushes us over 130.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the number in the portfolio? Yeah. 130. From working from the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
A lot of it is our kind of expansion into broader areas of planetary science, particularly driven by planets around other stars.
Yep. So. You know, I saw this editorial on space.com about how we have lost the basic trust in science and so much the public's trust in science. And a lot of it has to do with what happened with COVID and the feeling that the shots were not safe. What's your take on that editorial?
Well, prior to that, what's kind of set that up from my perspective is that science for a very long time now has been presented to the public as facts spoken by credentialed people wearing white lab coats without going into much detail. And so it's, you know, authoritative wisdom as opposed to the process that it is. Because frankly, it'd take too long than you could do in an interview to go through, like, so talk about vaccines. And, well, how do you determine what the effectiveness of? You have so many thousands of people that are given the vaccine, so many don't. They get exposed, and some fraction of them develop disease, some don't. You do the ratios, and you come up, you know. But to go through, to describe that whole process is something that people, they want to just cut to the chase. So what happens is that scientists are people that you're expected to trust because they're smart and they got degrees and they wear white lab coats.
Yeah.
Now when you have some people coming along and saying, well, I think something different. Well, as far as the normal viewer is concerned, science is the opinion of this person. Now, if somebody else comes along saying that, well, it's really the opposite of that. You know, you take this vaccine and it's going to turn your head purple.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have really much of a basis to adjudicate between the two positions. And so that's a, you know, so that's a real problem because a lot of our institutions are under attack.
Yes.
You know, in terms of the whole question of what's a fact or what's reliable information is now, you know, on the table, and and that's under attack. And so you just can't rely on somebody's status or their degrees that you have to be ready to explain, and there needs to be the time to explain how we come up with this position or that, you know, bit of understanding about how something works, whether it's regarding climate change or disease.
People want these quick bottom line answers.
Right. I think there is a way around it. And the author of the editorial was talking about better scientists for funding for scientists, which I'm all about. But I really think that we need to have a new mode of communicating to the public that would be something to which people could refer. But not in your face all the time because it would take too long. So it would be an epidemiologist that goes through the math, that goes through the studies, you know, on a channel or something, and that you can refer to, so that we can say, oh, well, we get this result on the effectiveness of this vaccine, and you can go over here and hear, you know, so and so explain it in gory detail, and so a lot of people would look at it and probably, oh God, it's too long, I'm not going to watch it. But it would be there, and some people would watch it. And in that way, we have an opportunity, and particularly in my business, the space business, which is fun. So it's a lot more interesting to listen to about than some other kinds of research.
Yeah, yeah.
And we, you know, are trying to figure out, well, how does this thing that we see happen? How does it come about? And how do we get our ideas? And how do we test those ideas? And you know, dig into something, whether it's water on Mars or why do we think that there were tsunamis, and just have a place where you go through all that stuff, because if people become normalized the idea that there's a place you can go where you can see that it's a process, where you can see the underpinnings of a scientific position, then let's build up the expectation in the public so that if somebody comes along and says, no, this vaccine's going to turn your head purple, then they could say, oh, well, where's your where's your explanation of that in great gory detail, showing how that happens all the time? And if they can't come up with it, then it's a
what would the
vehicle
statement. Be, Mark?
That you or it could be like a web channel or a cable channel or something that would be, you know, searchable and hopefully not be too much. The desire not make too much work for people to access things. But we've never done this. We don't have this. Well, I should say we do it, but it's in the scientific literature, and so we need a public, accessible scientific literature, a version of that to explain things. And frankly, if you know what you're doing, if you know what you're talking about, there isn't any science, in my opinion, that can't be clearly explained to the general public, you know, where they could really get the basis for what.
Well, you're very good at that, and that's why we enjoy having you on this. No, seriously, that's why you're here every month, because you do put science in a way that the average person who doesn't have a scientific background can understand, and that's one of the many things I do appreciate.
thank you, Billy. I mean, I mean, a lot of my colleagues they're a little resistant to, you know, to the public.
Yes,
talking
they are.
To public, because they prefer speaking in their own language.
Yes,
you know, and whereas I actually really enjoy talking to people, talking to the public, and when I give lectures, I like to stay for as long as people want to ask questions afterwards.
Yeah,
and I learn things too.
Yeah,
you know, in the
it's
questions
a two way street.
It is a two way street.
I do want to touch on some. I think we. People can understand. They've heard about the Sahara Desert and the big, huge dust storms that make it all the way over the Atlantic. They wind up in Florida. They can go as far as Texas. That dust, you got to wonder what impact that might be having on climate change.
Yeah, and that's a big question that's being addressed right now by a project called EMIT on the International Space Station. And one of our scientists, Roger Clark, is involved because this is an imaging spectrometer where they're trying to understand what is the composition of this dust that's blowing not just off the Sahara into the Atlantic and over the U.S., but in the Andes and Chile and other parts of the world, because this dust, it seeds the oceans. It becomes food for the phytoplankton and stuff. It absorbs, you know, if it's dark dust or bright dust, that affects how much energy is being absorbed, you know, from the sun, and that affects, you know, the climate, and it affects storms that are being generated in the Atlantic that end up here not just with dust but with hurricanes.
Yeah,
and so he's got this method called tetracorder. He couldn't call it tricorder because that was a Star Trek thing, but he called it tetracorder. And it has like 50,000 spectra of different kinds of minerals and stuff, and they're taking the data that their imaging spectrometer is taking, and running it through his software to determine what is the composition of this stuff in all these different places, and that is already providing insights we've never had before into just what's blowing around and what effects is it
and
having?
Is it harmful for us?
Yeah.
All right, Mark, always a pleasure. I want to wish you and yours a very happy Christmas season.
Too,
thank you very much for
you.
All you do. And if people are interested in finding out more, and I hope they are, go to psi.edu. That's Planetary Science Institute, and that will get you to all the great work that they're doing over at psi.edu. I'm a member of their organization, and they welcome people that don't know a lot about science like myself. Yeah. But We're all in it together, and there are people that do support the great work that you all do. Thank you very much, Mark. All right, on behalf of Dr. Sykes and John, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everyone well.